Today's Bible reading is from Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 to 24. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants and prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear, open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place.
Thank you, Grace. Good morning, everyone. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. We'll be spending some time looking at that, but before we do, allow me to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning, thankful for the opportunity for us to listen to your word. And Father, help us now to sit under your word and, Lord, to be led by you and your spirit. So that, Father, we will have the right response, the response that you desire from us. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you don't have to be a 70s fan to love the song, Love is in the Air. Anybody remember? This was sung by an Australian singer, John Paul Young, in 1977. The song, if you look at the lyrics, talks about a person who is struck by love. And here are the first few lines of, first two lines of each verse. This person sees love everywhere, right? Hears love in everything. Everywhere I look around, every sight and every sound, in the whisper of the tree, in the thunder of the sea, and in the rising of the sun, when the day is nearly done. Love is in the air. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? Celebrating love. Maybe some of you are seeing this right now in your head. And maybe it's stuck in your head for the rest of the day. I'm sorry, but that's not what we're going to think about this morning. In Daniel 9, we're going to think about what struck Daniel when he looked around. And sadly, he did not see love in the air. What he saw was sin in the air. Sin in the air. By the time we come to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was an old man. He had served three kings and been under two kingdoms. And he was one of the highest officials in Darius's kingdom, the second kingdom that he was part of. And one of the days he was reading the scripture, the Bible, and he was reading the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And he would have read something like this, to say that the exile, the time in Babylon, is going to end in 70 years. And after that God would bring them back to Jerusalem, that he would prosper them. And he would hear them when they pray. He's going to be with them. And he would be found when they seek him. And this is exciting stuff, isn't it? For a person who's been stuck in exile for nearly 70 years. And Daniel would have been really excited. He would have realized that it's nearly time. It's time to pack our bags, to go home, time to celebrate, time to feast and party, because finally we are going home. Finally we are leaving all our troubles behind. We are going home. But have a look at verse 3 in Daniel chapter 9. He had a different reaction, didn't he? Instead of shouting for joy, he's turned to God and he's pleading with God. Instead of feasting, he's fasting. Instead of party clothes, he's wearing sackcloth and he's sitting in ashes, which is to say he was mourning. Because as he looked around, he sees nothing much has changed. 70 years is nearly done. People haven't changed. They're still sinful, disobedient to God. They still haven't turned back to the Lord. He sees the effects of sin all around him. Sin is in the air. And he cannot celebrate. How can he? He cannot sing for joy. He cannot sing praises. So instead we have in verses 4 to 19 a prayer. A passionate prayer of confession, isn't it? And Daniel gives us a pattern to pray when sin is in the air. How do we pray when sin is in the air? Let's have a look at the prayer. Now, woven through this prayer is the character of God, isn't it? Who God is. Which means Daniel, in this prayer, he's gripped by God's character. I look at verse 3. Lord, O Lord, the great and awesome God. There's no one compared to him. There's no God beside him. No king, no emperor, no one is greater than him. Verse 3, continues. If you have your Bible, this is the best time because I'm not going to have the verses on the screen. He is the God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love and obey his commands. Verse 7 and 14 and 16, he's the righteous God. He's always right. He's right even when he punishes his people for their disobedience. When he brings disaster, he's right. Verse 9 and 18 again, he's merciful and forgiving. Even when his people have rebelled against him, he doesn't treat us the way we deserve. Verse 12, he's faithful. He keeps his word, even fulfilling the words that he has spoken against his people. Verses 15, 18, and 19, he's a jealous God, jealous for his name. He's concerned for the honor and the glory of his own name, and he doesn't want anyone or anything to dishonor his name. If you were with us the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, he's the one who knows the future. The one who is in control of the future. The one who holds the future in his hand. You see, friends, when we see sin all around us, when we see sin in the air, one of the very first things we need to do is to remind ourselves of who God is. To be gripped by his character. And the best way to do that is to read his word. To read how God himself has revealed his character in the pages of scripture. Now, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to start a series on our church values. And one of the church values is that we consider the Bible as something that gives us life and direction and authority to everything that we do. It is also something that reveals who God is. And we will look at that further at that time. Now, you may have seen people take pictures of objects, like huge objects, and kind of make them small. Like, how do they do that? Like, you may have seen people doing that, isn't it? The Eiffel Tower, like, within two fingers. And this huge monument is within two fingers. It looks small. But the more you come closer, you begin to realize how big it is, right? How magnificent this is. And how insignificant and how small you are. And I guess this is how Daniel probably felt when he was gripped by who God is. When he was gripped by God's character, when he reflected on how powerful, how holy, and how righteous God is, he begins to see how sinful and ugly sin is. Because we see in this prayer, Daniel is appalled. He is disgusted, horrified by sin. And we have in these verses a comprehensive confession of sin. Verse 5 and 6. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your laws and we have not listened to your servants. Verse 9, you have been faithful and merciful and forgiving us over and over again. Yet we have rebelled against you. We have willfully disobeyed you. Verse 10, we have not obeyed our God and kept his laws he's given us through his prophet's servants. All Israel have transgressed your law and refused to obey you. Verse 11, we have sinned against you. Verse 13, although disaster have come upon us because of our sin, still we have not sought your favor by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Verse 14, although God punished us, we have not obeyed. We have sinned. Now friends, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out the theme of this confession is, we have sinned. Notice, not his sin or not my sin, not their sin. We have sinned. Now, although Daniel had tried to live a godly life, a better life than everyone else around him, he can't distance himself. And he doesn't distance himself from the rest of his community. And he's appalled by the way he and his people have treated God, his word, and his prophet. And he's not only appalled by sin, he's shocked by what sin has done. This is what sin has done. Verses 7 and 8. Sin has brought shame on his people. We are covered, literally, with shame. Verse 16, Jerusalem and God's people have become an object of scorn, insulted, ridiculed, mocked, and laughed at. Why? Because we have sinned. This is what sin has done. Verses 11 to 14, God has punished us. Curses and sworn judgments of God that has been pronounced has been poured out on us. We are in exile because we have sinned. Verse 12, he looks at what has happened to Jerusalem and God's people. Daniel sees under the whole heaven, nothing like this has ever happened. Or done like what has been done to Jerusalem. It is deserted. The temple is burnt. People are scattered. This is what sin has done. Shocking, isn't it? And although in verse 24, we have this beautiful, glorious promises that after 77s, whatever that may be, God would finish transgression, put an end to sin, atone wickedness, bring everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy place. All these beautiful things will happen, but all these things are happening as we saw in chapter 7 and chapter 8, again here in verses 25 to 27, sin will continue to wreak havoc. Beastly kingdoms will rise. Ruthless leaders will attack God's people. Temple will be built and destroyed again. There'll be wars and desolation again and again. There'll be an end to sacrifices and worship of God. There'll be times where the word of God will be put down and disregarded. God's people will see trouble hit home and hit hard. Even the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One, will not be spared. In fact, he will be cut off and will have nothing. This is what sin has done, and this is what sin will do. Now, if Daniel had to write a psalm during this time, I would say he would swap the word love with sin. And he wouldn't sing a disco song, no, he would sing a dirge, a sad song. Sin is in the air. And every sight and every sound, the whisper of the tree and the thunder of the sea, the rising of the sun when the day is nearly done, sin is in the air. And no wonder, in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, Daniel is troubled and terrified. He needs to lie down. He's exhausted and he feels sick for several days and he's appalled, he's shocked. And no wonder, Daniel does the only thing that he could do when he sees sin in the air. He pleads for God. He pleads the God of mercy to have mercy, to show mercy. And that's what he does in verses 17 to 19, right? Verse 17. Our God, hear the prayer and the petition of your servant. For your name's sake, O Lord, look with favor. Verse 18, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. We do not make this request because we are righteous, but because of your great name's sake, because of your mercy. Verse 19, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act for your sake, O God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Daniel knows he can't do anything. He doesn't have the power to do anything. He wants God to do something. Hear, see, act, forgive, restore. And Daniel knows there's nothing he can offer to God that would bring God's favor. There's no amount of good deeds, no amount of sacrifices will be able to satisfy God. His only hope is that God would do something for himself, for his own glory. That God would do something for himself, for his own glory, for his own name's sake. See, friends, Daniel teaches us to change our focus from prayers of me and us to prayers of him. when we pray for peace, like this morning we prayed, we must pray that God would bring peace for His glory. When we pray for healing and restoration, we must pray that God would do that for His glory. When we pray for comfort and prosperity, we must pray that God would be glorified in that. We are praying for the church to grow, and we should pray that God would be glorified in that. When we pray for the salvation of our friends and family, we should pray that God would be glorified in that, that He would do that for His name's sake. I wonder what do you see when you look around? Perhaps you see struggle and hardship all around you. There are challenges, the sickness and aches and pains, disobedient kids and broken families, tragic events that happens and unexpected sad news. And last week we heard some pretty sad news, didn't we? The bus tragedy in Hunter Valley. The ferry tragedy near Greece, where hundreds of or thousands of refugees kind of daily they're lost in the sea. The war between Ukraine and Russia, and we saw a whole heap of wars that on the screen this morning. We are served by corrupt politicians and we work under selfish employers. We are in the middle of Pride Month. We hear about the persecution of Christians, churches being burned and bombed. Christians are killed for their faith in Jesus. We heard this morning about Uganda. Christians are being silenced and marginalized for holding on to biblical truths and practicing their faith. Sin is in the air, isn't it? How are you feeling? Do you feel the need to lie down, perhaps? Are you exhausted, feeling sick? Do you find it hard to pray? And then we hear what Jesus says, right? He says, before you take the speck out of the eye of your friend, sort your own eye. Take care of the log in your own eye. What is he saying? He's saying, think about how sinful you are. When we care to look at our own lives, we will see how selfish we are. How little we care for the truth and justice. How little we care for purity. How little we care for our neighbor. How much we contribute to the pollution of the world around us. We have not been good stewards of our time, our money, the gifts God has given. We are greedy, power hungry. We consume and waste excessively. We too have learned the ways and the works and the words of the world, and we have drifted away from God and His word, haven't we? In the early 1900s, there's a story that in the London Times, a question was asked, what's wrong with the world? And one of the prominent Christian apologists, thinkers, G.K. Chesterton, he said, dear sir, I am yours, G.K. Chesterton. See, we are part of the problem, aren't we? Just like them, we too have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We are guilty of breaking God's law. Sin is in the air. Not just in the world around us, but in our own lives, in our own habits, in our own behaviors, in our own, the way we work, the way we consume, the way we interact with the world. Sin is in the air. I think that's why we need the pattern of prayer that Daniel teaches us here in chapter 9. To be gripped by God's character, His holiness, His power, His mercy, His lordship. To be appalled by sin, to acknowledge and to be ashamed of all the ways that we have done wrong against God. And to be shocked by what sin has done. To remind ourselves what we are experiencing, the atrocities that is done against Christians and the church, is part of living in a sinful, fallen world. This is what sin has done. This is what sin will do. And to plead the God of mercy to show mercy. We need, friends, to ask God to act, to see, to hear, to forgive even us, His people, for His name's sake. I'm going to give us a moment to do just that. Just take a moment on your own to pray and plead with God to have mercy for yourself and to the world around us. Ask God to act. Do something for His name's sake. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come before You, we turn to You, we humble ourselves, and Lord, we recognize there's sin around us, sin in us. We are not consumed because of Jesus, and yet we still sin. Forgive us, we pray. Lord, please have mercy on us. Lord, hear us. Lord, please open Your eyes and see us. Lord, have mercy on Your church. Have mercy on this world. Lord, we pray, please have mercy for Your name's sake. And we ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.